year, here on Daf Kuf Tes Vavam and Aleph, we read through the Mishnah, but we didn't get a chance to see Rashi. And there's a very important Rashi here that we missed. And Rashi says, Tira maschel afal pishek suvim b'chol loshem v'ikalaman diyomer l'kamon lo nitnu likros behen matzilin oson. So this is something that I want to correct from yesterday. Rashi's saying that even though there is a mandiomar that prohibits writing in Lashon in other Lashonos, and if they're written in other Lashonos, you're not allowed to read from them, but nevertheless, Kol Kisvei HaKodesh, even B'chol Lashon, is Matzilin Oson Mipnei Hadleika. And this would even cover, as we said before, the shita that holds that Osur Likros Behem Bimos Hachol. And the Gemara is going to bring a Machlokis Tanoim. You're allowed to read from Kisvei HaKodesh that are written in other Lashonos. Our Mishnah reflects the shita, as Rashi points out, that it's Osur Likros Behem. Nevertheless, Mutal Lahatzil Afsforim Asurim Ka'elu Minad Leika B'Shabbos. So we have Aloch of Mutal Lahatzil these four. The Gemara starts with Itmar. Hayuk Suvim Targum, meaning in Aramaic, Lashon Aramis, or B'chol Lashon, or any other Lashon other than Kisvei HaKodesh. Is Rav Huna Amar Ein Matzilin Oson Mipnei Adleika, V'Rav Chizda Amar Matzilin Oson Mipnei Adleika. So it's not bad what we said yesterday, that perhaps the Mishnah is only going to be Matir, or let's say Mechayev Gniza, but nevertheless, it's not Mutal Atzilin Mipnei Adleika. That would reflect the sheet of Rav Huna. But Rashi interprets the Mishnah, as we saw today, in light of Rav Chizda Shita, that Matzilin Oson Mipnei Adleika. Now, we had indicated there's Machlokes Tanoim, this is in Megillah Daf Chesamid Beis, are you allowed to write Kisvei HaKodesh in another language? The Tanakam is Matir of Shem Gamliel is Oser. And the Mishnah actually brings the day of the Tanakam first, and the Tanakam is Matir. And there's no difference between the halachos that apply to a sefer Torah, Nevi'im Miksuvim, or those that apply to tefillin and mezuzah. But Kisvei HaKodesh nichtovim b'chol lashon. However, tefillin and mezuzahs are only written b'lashon kodesh. From Shimon Gamliel holds, against the Tanakhama, that even Kisvei HaKodesh, forget about tefillin and mezuzah, are not to be written in other languages, except the one exception is going to be Yevonis. Is going to be, again, this is ancient Greek. And there's a special kula with regard to Yevonis. Okay, now the Gemara is going to get into this machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chizda, in the light of our Mishnah. I'll leave it to Mandi Omar. According to the Tanakhama that we said before in Masechta Megillah, that you're allowed to write Kisvei HaKodesh in a different language, is Nitnu Likros Pem. For sure, if you're allowed to write them, you're allowed to read from them. The Kuli Amalo Pli the Matzilin, and therefore there's no question that according to that Mandi Omar, even Rav Huna would agree that you're allowed to save them if they are Dleika. This machlokas, therefore, between Rav Huna and Rav Chizda is limited to the shita that we mentioned earlier of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who holds that you're not allowed to write Kisvei HaKodesh in other languages. And now the question is, when you have a Sefer Torah, for example, that was written in another language, what would be the din as far as Matzilin Oso Mipnei Hadleika? Kipli Yal Libidamandi Omar, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, who holds also Lichtov. You're not allowed to write Kisvei HaKodesh in another language. That's called Lo Nitnu Likros Bahem, which means you're not allowed to write them and you're not allowed to read from them. Is Rav Huna Omar Ein Matzilin Osa Mipnei Adleiko? We're not going to save them from the fire. The Lo Nitnu Likros Bahem. You know, what's the point in saving them if, in any event, you can't read them? You get no benefit from them. In fact, we could go even a step further, and we could say that, let's say there wasn't a fire. In general, they might have the status of mukta with an Issur Tiltal on Shabbos. We're talking about something that you're not allowed to read from. Rav Chisda Omer Matzilin Mishum Bizoyon Kisvei HaKodesh. In other words, they recognize the status of this Sefer Torah as Kisvei HaKodesh. It's a paradox. You know, it's not chol. On the other hand, you can't say it's fully Sefer Kodesh because you're not allowed to read from them. But because of that dimension of Kedusha, that's enough to generate a chiv kavod, and we're not allowed to leave them burn. So we're not sure if this is some kind of a rabbinic category here, that something that doesn't have Kedusha Sefer Torah, we're going to treat it as if it has Kedusha Sefer Torah because of new kavod for other Sifrei Kodesh, or is it really inherent in this Sefer Torah? Earlier in Masechta Shabbos, we had a discussion about cameos that have the Shem Hashem written on them, but it's not really a Sefer, and it might have a partial status of Kedusha to it. And the Gemara has an afkamina there about whether you're allowed to take a kamea into Beis HaKiseh if it's not covered. Now the Gemara is going to ask a kasha on Rav Huna. Tanan, our Mishnah says, Kol Kisvei HaKodesh Matzilin Osom Bifnei Adleika Bein Korin Bahem Bein Shein Korin Bahem V'af Al Pi Sheksuv Mechol Loshon. My love, shouldn't we interpret the Mishnah Shekorin Bahem? That refers to Sifrei Nevi'im. V'ein Korin Bahem Aksuvim. And then the Mishnah adds, Af Al Pi Sheksuvim Bechol Loshon. And it would seem like Lo Nitnu Likros Bahem, meaning that our Mishnah is reflecting the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, because again, if it was Nitan Likros Bahem, then the Mishnah would not be Mechadish anything by adding those words, Af Al Pi Sheksuvim Bechol Loshon. If Ksuvim Bechol Loshon, according to Tanakama, has the identical status as Sefer Torah with all its Kedusha, why are you telling me Afal Pi Sheksuv Mechol Loshon? It must be that our Mishnah is reflecting the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, and you're not allowed to read from this Sefer. That's what it means, Ksuvim Mechol Loshon. And yet, nevertheless, Ktani Matzilin, because the Mishnah starts with Matzilin and indicates that all that follows in the Mishnah, whether it's Korin Bahem, Ein Korin Bahem, whether it's Ksuvim Beloshon Kodesh, whether it's Ksuvim Mechol Loshon, that's all included on the Matzilin. Is Tuvta de Rav Huna. You know, this is a real kasha on Rav Huna. Now, it's interesting. The Gemara didn't have to go through, really, this Korin Bahem Nevi'im and Ein Korin Bahem Ksuvim in order to ask the kasha on Rav Huna. The Gemara could have focused in a singular way just on the words in the Mishnah, Afal Pisha Ksuvim B'chol Loshon. The Gemara took this opportunity to go through the Mishnah and explain the Mishnah, and then explain that part of the Mishnah a little bit in the Sefer, which is the problem and the source for the Kasha against Rav Huna. However, it is possible that the Mishnah would lend itself to a different interpretation. When it says Bein Korin Bahem, that means Kisvei HaKodesh that are written in Lashon Kodesh, and Ein Korin Bahem is a reference to those Kisvei HaKodesh that were written in a foreign language, another language, and then maybe we could say that when it comes to Kisvei HaKodesh that are written B'chol Lashon, that's Nitan Lahatzil V'nei Adleika, and that itself would be a Kasha on Rav Huna. We don't have to get to the point of Afal Pishaksuv Mechol Lashon. So the Gemara explains that from the Reish of the Mishnah, there would be no objection to Rav Huna, because Bein Karim Bein Bein Shein Karim is not referring to whether you're allowed to write them or not allowed to write them, and they're written in other languages, but the difference between Torah Nevi'im on one hand and Ksuvim on the other hand. Amal Chah Rav Huna. Rav Huna tries to deflect this kasha, and he says, V'tizbara, are you correct in your interpretation of the Mishnah when it says, Afal Pisha Ksuvim Mechol Lashon, that's going back on the ratio when it says Kol Kisvei HaKodesh Matzilin, and the Mishnah is coming to tell you that even though you're not allowed to read from them, nevertheless you're allowed to save them from the Dleika, then Ema Seifa, if you're going to be consistent, how are you going to read the Seifa? It says Teunim Gniza. According to your interpretation, that section of the Mishnah, Afal Pi Sheksuv B'chol Lashon, is an independent section which is teaching us that even though you're not allowed to write them because they're written in other languages, you're not allowed to learn from them, but nevertheless there's halacha of derech bizayon, and we have to save them from sreifa because of derech bizayon, is hashtat tzuli matzalinon gniza miboy? If you're telling me that with regard to these sfarim, that you're not allowed to write them, you're not allowed to learn from them, but nevertheless you're going to save them mishum kavod, if there's a dleik on Shabbos, then how much more so? It goes without saying that they are teunim gniza. The Mishnah didn't have to teach me that there's a chi of gniza, which would apply again both for Shabbos, but b'chol, that's irrelevant to the Zman, meaning if the Sefer Torah has to be discarded, then we have to place it with all the covet into gniza. If you have enough Kedusha Sefer Torah here to generate a heter of Hatzalah, then certainly there's enough Kedusha Sefer Torah to generate a Chiyuv Gniza. I mean, if you throw it Derek Zilzal, that would undermine the covet. And in that sense, the Mishnah is difficult with or without Rav Huna. You know, we really have to understand exactly what the Tunim Gniza here is doing and what the Chiddush of Tunim Gniza. Ella, but rather, we're going to have to say that we have to reinterpret this Mishnah. And Rav Huna mitarts the Tamei, Rav Chisda mitarts the Tamei. Each one of these two shitas is going to explain the Mishnah in the light of his particular understanding and his view. And the question is whether Matzilin mifnei adleiko or not. So Rav Huna mitarts the Tamei, bein shekorim bahen ubein she'ein korim bahen is Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Both we will matzil mifnei adleik. And then the Mishnah adds, b'medvar ma'murim. In other words, when do we apply the halacha of Hatzalah? Right? We don't have those words, b'medvar ma'murim in our Mishnah, but let's add those words. And that's Shehem Ksuvim b'lashon HaKodesh. Ava b'chol lashon, if they're written in another language, ein matzilin, because since lo nitnu likros b'hem, is then we're not going to save them. V'afilu hachi gniza bo. But the lowest level of Kedusha it has, it doesn't have enough level of Kedusha to be matir hatzol on Shabbos, because after all, ein korim bahem, but it does have a minimum level, barest level of Kedusha, which expresses itself and generates achiv gniza. And that's the way Rav Huna is going to learn this Mishnah. And the Kavanas HaMishnah now, according to Rav Huna, is that even if it's written in another language, and even though you're not matzel them if they have dleik on Shabbos, nevertheless, we have to place them into Gneza, b'makom, you know, we're not allowed to put them just in a hefkeri stick of makom, and we have to avoid bizoya. Now the Gemara is going to interpret our Mishnah according to Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda mitarts l'tamei, Bein shekorin bahem neviim, bein shekorin ein korin bahem ksuvim. And now he's going to say, instead of amedvar murim, the afal pi shem ksuvim b'chol lashon nami matzilin. Okay, now it's written in another language, and you can save it if they had leka, which certainly means that it has kedusha. So we don't need the Mishnah at this point to tell me that it's ton gniza v'hachikoma. But those two words, tunim gniza, is how we have to interpret them. Umekek shalahem tunim gniza. In other words, we have halacha of kisvei kodesh balu. That's called rikavon. You know, it's after a certain while, a long period of time, the sperm start disintegrating, and the bugs and the the worms, they have a particular liking towards cloth, something that's written on a parchment, and they, they start eating away at the kisvei kodesh, and really, it's a state of rikavon. It's mekak. Mekek or recovon. Recovon means it's totally, totally disintegrated. But nevertheless, tuunim geniza, why? We still have kavod. And this is very similar to, by sheer association, to the sugya of shirei luchos, meaning that something that once had kavod, like a Talmid Chacham who once knew a great deal, but he subsequently forgot, he had amnesia, whatever, we still treat him with kavod, that shirei luchos. Here also, it once had kedusha. And even though now it's at the situation of rikavon, nevertheless we still have to treat it with kavod, and therefore it requires gneiza. And we would have thought, there are two strikes against this Sefer Torah. Number one, it was written in another language, and therefore lo nitnu likasa, we're going like Rav Shimon Gamliel, you can't read from it, and therefore it doesn't have kedusha. On top of that, it's already in a state of mekek. And once we've established that you're not allowed to read from them, and we went a step further, therefore, the halacha is that it doesn't have, for sure, a full-fledged kedusha. Nevertheless, is matzilin. We're going to save it. Mipnei adleika. You see, here's where Rav Huna would say, wait a minute, why are you saving the adleika, something that you're not allowed to read? It doesn't really have kedusha sefer Torah. Now, if you talk about gneiza, now we have a second tartil race, we have a second negative element to add to the equation. Not only is also likros mehem, but it's already recovered, it got to the state where the you could barely see any of the letters. And we would certainly think that it doesn't require gneiza, and that's why the Mishnah wants to tell us, no. It has a certain vestige, if you will, of kedusha. It was once kadosh. We were once willing to save it from the adleika, and therefore it needs gneiza. So the mekak has a certain minimum level of kedusha, and that's going to generate a requirement of gneiza. Meisve, the Gemara has another kasha now on Rav Huna, based on a brisa. The Brisa says, "Hayu k'suvim targum v'chol lashon," that if the Sefer Torah was written in Aramaic or it was written in any other language, matzilin ol sabfnei adleika t'yuv t'drav huna. You can't get more explicit than this. I mean, this is like rewriting Rav Chisda against Rav Huna. The Brisa clearly says that we don't save b'fnei adleika that which is written in, that we do save b'fnei adleika that which is written in other languages. Whereas Rav Huna is of the opinion that if it's written in other languages, we don't save it b'fnei adleika. Omer l'cha Rav Huna, Hai Tana Savar Nitnu Likros Mehem. This is not Rav Shimon Gamliel, this is the Tanakama in Megillah, who says that you're allowed to write Kisvei HaKodesh in any language, is Mamele, you're allowed to read it once it's written in any language, and if that be the case, it has a full-fledged status as Kedusha Sefer Torah, and everybody would agree, according to that Mandiyom, according to that Tanakhama, Matzino Sofnei Adleika. My argument and my position that Ein Matzino Softeiko, that was because I was standing on the shoulders of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who holds that also Likos Behem. Toshma, another Kasha on Rav Huna. Here's a Brisa that really seems to prove Rav Chisda. Hayu, again, we're talking about Kisvei HaKodesh, Ksuvim Giftis, Modis, Ivris. Okay, these are various languages. We're not talking about Yavanis. Now, Ivris sounds a little bit similar to Lashon Kodesh, but it's not. This is the Lashon of Aver Nahar Pras. And that was the way that, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Shvatim wrote the Ksav during a period of time, way back when they lived in Aver Lanar Pras. And according to that, Mandi Omar, Lashon Kodesh itself was written in Ksav Ivri up until the time of Ezra, who instituted and enacted a takana of what we call Ksav Ashuris, which is the Ksav that we're familiar with today in Sifrei Torah. Then we have another language which was called Elamis, from the country called Elam. And finally, Yavanis, you know, the ancient Greek language. Afal Pishal Nitnu Likros Bahen, Matsilino Summit Nadleka. Now here, it's absolutely clear that this price reflects the Shita of Shimon Gamliel, because it says explicitly Lo Nitnu Likros Bahen, but nevertheless, it says Madlikin Osam Bifnei Adleka. Matsilin Osam Bifnei Adleka. Now this is certainly against Rav Huna, because even though we're talking about Rav Shimon Gamliel and Lo Nitnu Likros Bahen, nevertheless, it has enough Kedusha so that we have to be Matsilin Mipnei Adleka B'Shabbos. Now, it's interesting that Yavanis appears on the list here in the Brisa, because even Rav Shimon Gamliel would agree that if you write a Sefer Torah Yavanis, that's Mutter. And here the Brisa is listing all those languages and Lo Nitnu Likros Bahen. Where did Yavanis sneak in? So that's not clear, but there is a Shita of Rabbi Yehuda in Masechta Megillah that with regard to Sefer Torah, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you're allowed to write in Yavanis, but as far as Nevi'im and Ksuvim are concerned, you're not allowed to write them in Yavanis. So even though Rabbi Shimon Gamliel elevates Yavanis to a special level, that's only as far as a Sefer Torah is concerned, but not Sifrei Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So perhaps this Braisa, when it lists Yavanis as one of the languages that Lo Nitnu Likros Bahen, it's referring to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Omer lecha Rav Huna Tanoihi. This subject is really a machlokas Tanoim. And the Braisa that you're quoting reflects the sheet of one Tana. I myself maintain the sheet of a different Braisa. The Sanya, we have a Tosefta that says Hayuk Suvim, that you have Kisvei HaKodesh that are written Targum in Aramaic, Ubechol Loshen, and any other language, Matzilin Oson Bifnei Adleka. Rabbi Yossi argues, and he says, Omer Ein Matzilin Oson Bifnei Adleka. Now, if we would stop here at this point, we would say that this machlokas here between the Tanakama of this Braisa and Rabbi Yossi is identical to the machlokas Tanakama of Shimon Gamliel as to whether or not you'll have to write a Sefer Torah in other languages. But let's go on. Om Rabbi Yossi Maisa bi'Abba Chalafta. Okay. Now, the father of Rabbi Yossi was Chalafta. It's very strange that he mentions his father by name. Usually, Mishum Kovid Av, you're not supposed to mention your father's name. But maybe because he adds the word Chalafta, he prefixes it with the word Abba, that already is considered Kavod. In any event, Holach Eitzel Ram Gamliel Berive. Okay, now who's Berive? So Berive, Rashi says, is an Adam Gadol. Again, he wasn't the son of Rebbe, but he was an Adam Gadol. Or perhaps Rashi elsewhere indicates that Beribe means he was full of Chachma, full of sharp Harifus. He was the Gadol of his door. So that Abba Chalafta is on his way to visit Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel is called Beribe. He is the Gadol Ador. Where does he find him? In Tveria. Okay, now Tveria indicates a certain historical period in which the Sanhedrin was in Usha. They ran away from Yavne because of the Romans, and they ended up in a place called Usha. And in fact, even from Usha, Rabbi Gamliel, the Nasi, had to go from place to place because of all sorts of persecutions. And they finally found him in Tveria. And this you'll see in a Gemara in Erev, and if you're interested, Maisa, there's a story there in Tveria, and there were no Igheter. And Rabbi Gamliel came along with the Zekedim, and he asked something that they were Mate. Anyway, that's the period of time which is called Tveria. Umetza'o, when they got to Rabbi Gamliel, Hayoshev al Shulchano Shal Yochanan Hanazuf. Okay, so there's a person by the name of Yochanan who was put into Nazifa, and of all places they found Rabbi Gamliel sitting at his table, at Yochanan Hanazuf's table, the other Sefer Iov, that was written Targum, that was written in Aramaic, Vehu Korebo. And he was reading from it. So it sounds like Rabbi Gamliel had no problem reading from a Sefer Iov that was written in a different language, in this case in Targum. Omalo Sabachalifta turns to Rabbi Gamliel and he says, Zohar Aniva Rabbi Gamliel, I remember the original Rabbi Gamliel. That's Rabbi Gamliel, Azokin, the elder, Avi Avicha, your grandfather, Shaya Omed Al Gav Mala Barabais. He would stand on a step on the Harabais. Hevil Afan of Sefer Iov Targum, and they brought him the book of Iov written in Aramaic. The Omar Labanai, and he said to the builder who was working there, Shakehu Tachas Anidbach, place it down below a nidbach. And a nidbach is a row of stones, the stones of the binyan. So he told the builder that's where they should be hidden. And what that means is that apparently this Sefer of Iov, which was written in Targum, did not have any of the Shemus of Hashem, Sheinum Nimchakim, because if it had the Shemus of Hashem, then Rabbi Gamliel would not destroy the Shem Hashem B'Yadayim. That you're not allowed to do, even if it's written in another language. Afhu, even Rabbi Gamliel, Tziva Olav Ugnozo. In other words, once Abba Chalafta transmitted or revealed to the grandson, in this case the Nasi, Rabbi Gamliel, what his grandfather, the original Rabbi Gamliel, did with a book of Iov that was written in Targum, at that point, Rabbi Gamliel commands that we put it into Geniza. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Domer, he denies this whole claim of Abba Chalafta that Rabbi Gamliel, Azok, the original Rabbi Gamliel, actually commanded the builder to take this Sefer Iov and put it under the bricks, under the stones, but rather a ravishal tit kafu olav. Okay, so you're talking about cement, and they poured cement over it. Being what? What is the significance of this? And once again, we're dealing with different methods of destroying this Sefer Iov that's written Targum. Amar Rebbe. Okay, so Rebbe comes along in this price and he says, Shtei Tshuvas B'Dover. I have two counter arguments against Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and I will disprove what he claims. Chada. Number one, v'chi tit b'harabayis minayin, tit, which is a mixture of dirt from the ground and water, is not something that is allowed on the harabayis. B'harabayis, they were bona traskid, which was a mixture of sand and lime. So therefore, it's not logical that a builder on the Har Habayis would have access to cement, to an Areva Shaltit, because in order to cover over the Sefer, because that wasn't even allowed in the building of the any of the building in the Har Habayis. V'yodin, furthermore, v'chimuta li'abdom biyad. Now it's one thing to hide them under stones, but it's another thing to take concrete and pour it over these Kisvei HaKodesh, this Sefer Iyov, biyad, with your hand. I mean, that's a direct act of ibud biyadayim, which is a violation of a severe iser. Ella, but rather, says Rebbe, meinichon, what you're allowed to do is leave them b'mokom haturfa, in a place that's open, exposed, it's hefker, v'heim arkivim aleihem, like a behemoth kodshim, is yirat shi'istayv. You know, you leave it alone until finally it gets a mum, and then it becomes chul, and it becomes psulia mikdashim. Here also, we're going to take a sefer, and we're not allowed to destroy them with our hands directly, but what we're going to do is we're going to leave them around until they rot, so to speak. May markivim, may aleihem. Now, Rebbe seems to reject our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that even if we don't save Kisvei HaKodesh from a dleiko, when they're written in kol losha, nevertheless they need gniza, we would not be allowed, therefore, to leave them in a makom hefker. And that's what we saw in Rav Huna above. On the other hand, he's also arguing against Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, who holds that you're allowed to destroy them via dayim. So Rebbe perhaps is a middle shita. It's a machria, a compromise. We're not going to allow you to destroy them with your hands, but they don't require gniza. And therefore leave them alone and let them rot on their own. Now the Gemara brings this whole brisa as a proof that there's a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, we said before. And this machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda is really a machlokes tanoim that predates Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Man tanoi, who are the tanoim in this brisa? Which one holds like Rav Huna and which one holds like Rav Chisda? Because after all, what's the status of a Sefer Iyov that was written Targum? And we had the Tanakama. Okay. So at this point, we have to backtrack a little. Let's go back to Rav Huna, who says that, I'm going to quote to you, Bryce, and prove Tanoihi, that our debate, me and Rav Chisda, are arguing in the Machlokas Tanoi. And the Tanakama, that Bryce, which is the beginning of this long Bryce, holds that even if it's written in other Lashonos, Matzinos of Neg, Leikor Rav Yossi says, Ein Matzinos of Neg. So Gemara now says on the top of Kuv Tes Vav Omid Beis, Elema, if you're going to tell me that the Tanakama who says that Matzilin, even Kisra Kodesh are written in Cholosh Matzinos of Neg, Leikor, he reflects the Shita of Rav Chisda. And then Rav Yossi says, Ein Matzilin, and he prohibits saving them. He holds like Rav Huna. So I'm going to answer to you, Vidilma, perhaps the Tanakh, this Tanakhama Rav Yossi, are not arguing the Machlokas of Yehuda, of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, Elabe Hakamifli. This is what they're arguing about. Mars of the Tanakhama holds, Nitnu Likros Bahem. You're allowed to write Kisvei HaKodesh in any other language, and you're allowed to read and learn from it, and therefore it has full Kedusha, and therefore we save it if they have like Mars Sava, but Rav Yossi holds, Lo Nitnu Likros Bahem. Which means we're getting back to the Machlokas between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakhama of Masechta Megillah. So Rav Yossi actually holds like Rav Huna, but how do you know that the Tanakhama this Brisa holds like Rav Chisda? That even if something is not Nitan Likros Bahem, nevertheless you're going to be Matzuf Nehadleka. Maybe this Tanakhama holds that the reason why you're allowed to save them if they had lekos, because mutalikros behem, reflecting the sheet of the Tanakama of Rav Shimon Gamliel in Megillah, because Enochinami, if it would be also likros behem, then it would be also latzilim b'fnei adleika. So it means we really don't have to ask a kasha from this Tanakama onto Rav Huna, because the Tanakama might be going according to the Shita that allows writing Sifrei Torah in other languages, whereas Rav Huna is going according to the Man Yomar, who says you're not allowed to write Sifrei Kodesh in any other language. So Enochinami, it's really true that Rav Huna jives, so to speak, with Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi is an exact reflection of the Shita of Rav Huna, but nevertheless, we don't have to say, well, you know what, the Tanakhama here is going to support Rav Chisda against Rav Huna, because the Tanakhama here might be simply holding that you're allowed to write Kisrei HaKodesh in any language. The issue and the machlokas between Rav Chisda and Rav Huna revolves around the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who holds that you're not allowed to write Kisrei HaKodesh in other languages. So what's the Lema Kitanoi now? We get back to that problem of Lema Kitanoi. So now at this point, the Gemara backtracks, and Enochinami, from this price, you cannot prove that there is a Tana who holds like Rav Chisda, Ella, but Tanoim actually do argue in this Machloka, Samoroim, Rav Chisda, Rav Huna, and that's Rav Yossi, Vitana, the price of Giftis. In other words, Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa says Ein Matzilin, but the Tana of the Braisa of Hayiksuvim Giftis, or Modis, or Ivris, or Ilmis, or Yvonis, even though you're not allowed to write it in those languages, nevertheless we say them they are Dleika. So on the one hand, Rabbi Yossi holds like Rav Huna, the Tana of the Braisa holds like Rav Chisda. So although the Tanakama of Rabbi Yossi in that Braisa, that might not be a problem for Rav Huna, but we did have the previous Braisa that was a clear-cut proof to Rav Chisda that even if the Kisrei HaKodesh are written in other Lashonos, and lo nitnu likros behem, nevertheless matzilinos b'fnei adleika. And that's what Rav Huna wants to say, Tanoihi, that although, I'm going to quote to you a Braisa, and I don't know, maybe both sheets in the Braisa are jivable with me, and they can be reconciled with me, but Rav Yossi clearly holds my Shita, and therefore, when you quote a Braisa that says, Afal Pishlo Nitno Likros Bohem Matsilinos of Nedleka with regard to Sivrei Torah that are written in other languages, okay, that Braisa represents and reflects the Shita of one of the Tanoim. And Rav Chisda can certainly stand on the shoulders of that Tan. And when the Gemara answered Tanoihi originally, and it quoted the Braisa of Hayiksuvim B'Targum, the Gemara did not mean to say that even the Shita of Rav Chisda can be found clearly and explicitly in that Braisa. The Gemara is only quoting that Braisa to show you that there is one Tana who holds by the sheet of Rav Huna, and that's going to be Rav Yossi. Now, as far as Rav Chisda himself is concerned, his Shita is that the Tana of the Braisa, which we already brought earlier, that allows you to be Matzil Kisrei HaKodesh, even though they're written in Giftis and other languages, even though it's explicit that Lo Nitna Likros Bem. So, Rav Chisda himself is going to stand on the shoulders of that Braisa. Now the Gemara says, Ella, Rabbi Yossi, Vitani, fine, that we did give this. And now we're up to Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, we're talking about Kisrei HaKodesh, and whether you're allowed to save them, they lake of a Shabbos, Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa. Habrachos, let's say you wrote the Nusach of a Bracha on a klaf. You wrote Shmon Esrei on a klaf, Lidugma, or any other Bracha. Vakmeim, or you wrote the names of God with certain psukim in order to create an incantation, and that klaf is going to have a therapeutic power. Is afal b'sheish b'hen osiel shel shem, even though you'll find in both cases the letters that make up the name of God, and you'll find verses mi in yonos harbe shabbat Torah, from many, many different parashas in the Torah. Nevertheless, Ematzino Somfnei Adleika. We're not going to say them on Shabbos. In a case of a delay on Chol, we're gonna try to save them, and certainly we're not allowed to be ma'abed them. But on Shabbos we don't save them. El nisrafim, even if you leave them go and they'll burn, that's what has to happen. Hein v'yaskar seya. Is mikan omru chachamim kosvei brachos v'kimoyin kisarfe Torah. So what does that mean? Omru chachamim kosvei brachos k'min. Ah, I see. I'm sorry, but kisarfe Torah means those who write these things down, it's almost as if they burnt them, because if there was a fire, we wouldn't even save them on Shabbos. Maisa b'echad shaya kosev b'tzaydon. He was up north in the city of Tzaydon, otherwise known as Tzor. Is bo v'odiu es Rabbi Shmuel. They notified Rabbi Shmuel about what was going on here, about the psak of Nisrafim. V'holach Ram Gamliel livvodko. He went to check this person if he's really writing brachos. Kshaya Ola, when Rabbi Shmuel climbed the sulam, a ladder, to get to the house of the writer, Hirgishbo, the writer inside realized what was going on here. Natal Tomos Shel Brachos, Vishikon Bisefel Shelmaim. Ubaloshan Azelmar. Lo, Rabbi Shmuel, Godol Ha'onesh Ha'achron Min HaRishon. And what Rabbi Shmuel is conveying to him is that it's bad enough that you wrote these brachos and kmiim, which is a violation of the principle in Gittin of Dvarim Shebal Pei Yatar Shem Lomav Iksav, but nevertheless you went a step further, you destroyed them. And although we're not allowed to write them, but we certainly will not allow you to destroy them. And now you're putting them into the water and destroying them. Now again, this hashchasa would be an isur derabanan, because presumably in these brachos and this kameya there aren't azkaros. But again, that has to do with different shitos. But nevertheless, gadol ha'onesh ha'achro min ha'rishon, because that's an act of destroying. Bad enough that you wrote it, and you violated the Mesorah by taking something that should be Balpeh and putting it to Ksav, but then to go ahead and destroy it, that's really bad. That's deserving of a severe onesh. Boy mine resh galusa miraba baravhuna. Hayu, he has Torah Nevi'im ha'ksuvim ksuvim besam ubesikra bekomos ubekantum. Okay, these are all types of dyes that are used for ink. And this is what you call a ksav shenim eskayim. It's not dio, you know, the real black ink, which will last forever. But this will not last forever. B'loshan HaKodesh. But the positive dimension here, or the salvaging factor of this Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, is that it was written in Loshan HaKodesh. Now the question is, are you allowed to read from it? This is the question that the Reish Galusa is going to ask Rabbi Baruch Huna. And if you're allowed to read from it, then the repercussion is that Matzion Olsom of Nedlik, it has a full-fledged Kedusha. Oh, or should we say no? You're not allowed to read from them, and you're not allowed to save them from a delay. Tiboy Laman Diom Matzilin, Tiboy Laman Diom Ein Matzilin. And this question is valid no matter what you say about Matzilin and Ein Matzilin in a case of writing the Sifrei Kodesh in Targumim, and Tiboylam and the Omer Ein Matzilin. And I could still have my suffering and my question even according to Rav Huna, who holds Ein Matzilin. Why? Because I could say the following. Hani Mili, When were these things said? Heichad iksive targum ubechol lashon. If the Kisrei HaKodesh were written in Aramaic or in any other lashon except for lashon kodesh, aval hacha iksive belashon kodesh, it was written in lashon HaKodesh, but it was written with a certain inferior type of ink, which is not miskayim. It disappears with time. Maybe you'd be allowed to learn from such a sefer, and therefore matzinos of adleika. Oh, Dilma, should we say no? Lo nitnu likros ben, afilu mandiyomer matzilin. Even if you go like that mandiyomer, which is Rav Chisda, who says that you can save these sifrei kodesh that were written in other languages. Hani milu, that's only echad iksive vidyo demiskayin. If you write a Let's take an example. You write a Sefer Torah, and what kind of dio are you using? You've got to use dio hamiskayim, dio that has a long shelf life. It can last forever. If it's got a ksav miskayim, is memela, it has kedusha Sefer Torah, and it would be bizoyon if you wouldn't save them. Al hacha, here, it's not written in dio, in classic dio, but rather kevin de lo mekayim, this is a ksav that is only temporary, it's not going to be miskayev. Like for example, the ksav akosav bidyo ragil, which is miskayim, is lo nitnu la tzilam ipne adleka, because ein lecha bizoyon gadol mizeh. This is a real bizoyon in the case of using the wrong ink, and it's the Dovashen Miskayim. Omale, Rabba Baravuna speaks to the Reish Galus, and he says, Ein Matzilin. I'm not going to allow you to save it, Mibnei Adleika. So the Reish Galus himself asks the Kashva, Rav Hamnuna, Tana Braisa, and in the Braisa it says, Matzilin. So what's Rabba Baravuna's counter against this? Omale, he tells the Reish Galus, E Tanya Tanya. If it's written up in a brisa, then it's written up in a brisa. I change my mind. Reish Galus is basically declaring, if this is taught in a brisa, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to be chozer b. In other words, the Reish Galus knew this brisa, even when he asked the question. But nevertheless, he asked the question, and when Rabbi answered him, what he answered him, so Reish Galus quoted the brisa to see if everybody agrees to that brisa, or perhaps there's another way of interpreting the brisa. So the Gemara says, "My Tanya." What does it mean that Reish Galus says, "Itanya, Tanya"? If there's a brisa, what brisa is going to teach us this din? Omer of Ashi Kedisanya. We have a brisa that says, "Ein bein sfarim leMegillah." There's no difference between Kisrei HaKodesh and Megillas Esther. Ella. Only one nafkibin and one din, shesfar asfarim nichtav mechaloshem megillah, is not ksheira ela ad shetehei ksura ashuris al hasefer ubidyo. So the brisa mentions, number one, that the megillah has to be written in ashuris. Number two, it has to be written on klaf. And number three, it's got to be written bidyo. From the fact that the Braisa mentions that the Megillah has to be written bidyo, so the implication of this Braisa is quite clear, that all Sifrei Kodesh could be written in Psalm, Sikra, Kulmus, Kantkant, of all the different substances and types of inks. And the only difference between Megillah and other Sifrei Kodesh is the issue of Ashuris, that Megillah has to be written in Ashuris, whereas other Sfarim can be written B'chol Lashon. But it's absolutely clear then that there's no nafkamina between Sifrei Kodesh and Megillah as far as the various types of ink that we mentioned before. So if you're allowed to write them in various types of ink, then if it was written, then for sure you're allowed to learn from them, and Mutar Likros Bem, and Mela, you're allowed to be Matzil them Bifnei Adleika. Let me just clarify the names, because I think we got a little bit confused about who said what here. Rav Hamnuna was the one who quoted a brisa of Matzilin Lifnei Adleika, and Rabba was the one who said to the Reish Galusa that ain't Matzilin Osam, but if you find me a brisa, I'll rescind my point. And this is the brisa that brought Rabba Bar Hamnuna to the point where he changed his mind, and he's on board that that you can be Matzil Lifnei Adleika, even though it's written in other languages. And we said that that again, you could use different substances and materials, but basically, it's mutal likros behem and matzilin osam b'fnei adleika. So let's go back to the original boy mine reish galusim rav bar avhuna, and the whole issue was if kisvei hakodesh were written in sam sikra and so forth, and all these other inks and materials. And whether or not it's Matzilin Lifnei Adleika, and the final maskon of the sugya is that Matzilin Osam Lifnei Adleika. The only difference is that Megillah has to be written in Ashrus, but other Sifrei Torah can be written in other languages, and they can be written not only with Yo, because otherwise the Brisa should have mentioned that that the other Kisvei HaKodesh, like Megillah, has to be written in Dyo. The omission really proves that other Kisvei HaKodesh, other than Megillah, do not have to be written in Dyo. They could be written in other substances, as long as there's a Ksava Miskayim, and you're allowed to read from them, and therefore you're allowed to save them if they had Leika. So that which Reish Galusa asked Rabba Bar Avhuna is at the end of the day, even Rabba Bar Avhuna agrees that Matzil, right, in Kosvim, Vitzam, Sikri, used other materials, other inks, and you would save it mifnei adli. So what this brings us up to boy mine Rav Huna bar Chaluv. Let's just make a note of where we're up to on Daf Kuf Tes Vav Amid Beis. I would say that basically we're about halfway through the Amud, and Emirtz Hashem, tomorrow we'll start with boy mine. The line starts with the word Ashuris. And that's where we're going to start in Mitzvah tomorrow.